welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM.
WMIE.
Today's Modern Worship. Yes, that's the velvet tones of Paul Esposito right there. So we are glad that you have joined us here and getting your week started off. We pray that you are having a great day and that you will be a blessing to those you come in contact with throughout this day. I want to say thank you, first of all, to the folks of Wyrick Air, 321-632-9538, 321-632-9538. If you need any electrical work, you know, air conditioning, heating, they can do all of that. And none of that has ever happened to me at a convenient time. I encourage you, if you've got problems, first of all, if you've got electrical problems, you don't want to wait around for that. You might go around and check, make sure that your electrical panel is not one of those panels that has issues and insurance companies want you to change anyway. Don't wait until your house catches on fire or your panel, your breaker short circuits or anything like that. You can call the folks at Wyrick Air Heat and Electric, 321-632-9538, and they can come and get you up to speed and running and functioning without any problems. That so brings about so much peace of mind. I really like living with peace of mind. And so if they can be a benefit to you, call Wyrick. That's Weirich, 321-632-9538 there in Rockledge, Florida. They go anywhere in Brevard County, and they will be a blessing to you. So this week, I need to let you know that we will not be having our midweek service. Our offices are going to be closed this week. We will not be having anything going on. We're having some maintenance done at our sanctuary or in our fellowship hall, but we got to keep both buildings closed all week. So we will be back up and running on Sunday morning, January the 19th. So if you were saying, man, this was the week that I was going to come, push that off a week, readjust your calendar, and we will see you on Sunday morning. And then we'll be in a much better place to minister once our issues are resolved. So praise the Lord for that. Thank God for people that are smarter than me and know how to take care of problems that I don't know how to take care of. Amen? Amen. I'll amen myself. That's what I like to do every once in a while. So we're going to take you back to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We're in the journey, the meat, if you will, in between 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31, but earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way, and chapter 14. We're gonna highlight some of this in 13 to get to where we want to go in chapter 14. Verse number 8 of 1 Corinthians 13 says, love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. I'm so thankful that we are on this journey of maturing. There are a lot of times where I say, you know what? I'm not sure we have all of the facts in yet on this. And so where it talks about love never fails and that it endures everything and it believes the good things and hopes in all things, we realize that we are in a journey that right now we may know in part, but there's going to come a day when we have full understanding. So because of that, there are certain preferences that people have that I refuse to argue about. I'm not talking about absolutes. I'm not, the absolutes are absolute. But there are a lot of people who have preferences that they want to try and elevate to the position of absolutes, and I have a problem with that. I don't mind addressing that and saying, I don't think that you have all of the facts in yet to be able to make that an authoritative and declarative absolute truth. So I will say, we probably should reserve judgment on certain things until we have perfect understanding. So there was a person that made a statement, and I said, have you ever, and this is exactly the way that I said it, have you ever considered this verse here? And so they went and they asked someone and said, have you considered this verse? And what we realized was we were both quoting scripture. And I made this statement. I said, from our perspective that we have now, we would see that those two statements would be in, it would be hard for us to see how both of those statements could be true. But we serve a great, big, wonderful God. And I know this, God never lies. And I don't understand how both of those things are going to come to pass, but I can't wait to see how he pulls it off. And that's a much preferred way of dealing with things rather than saying, you know what, I've got partial understanding and I am absolutely 100% sure of my partial understanding here. And so, I have my view of eschatology, the end times, when Jesus is going to return. I believe I have solid scriptural grounds for my view. But I don't have perfect understanding, and anyone who tells you that they have absolute perfect understanding when it comes to end times events, I think they're probably a little more confident than what the level of facts that they have. I think that there are still some things yet to be revealed when it comes to that. So the reason that I am very cautious in making timing dictatorial is because, well, I was alive for 87 reasons why Jesus is coming back in 1987, followed by the next year's revision, 88 reasons why Jesus is coming back in 1988. And I look and I see it was the religious leadership in Jesus' day that they did not recognize the Messiah standing in front of them because they were so confident in their partial understanding of what the Messiah was going to look like, act like, be like, that they had. Their partial understanding blinded them from the truth that was standing right in front of them. So I like to be very, very cautious when it comes to that. Another instance of where partial understanding in my life had the potential of being really disastrous, and that was when I asked my wife to go on a date. We started talking, and during our dating, she referenced that she felt called to missions. Well, I knew that my call was to be a pastor. And so I did not understand how pastor and missions was going to be able to work hand in hand. And so we needed some further understanding. And so when God said, you know, I think you need to put a pause on this until you get more understanding, I was like, okay, I can do that. Really, really difficult. And so we hit the pause, and then as we got more understanding, God gave us the green light to go ahead and get married, and we moved to Oklahoma, and then we moved someplace else, and then we ended up getting transferred. My job, not my ministry, but my job, transferred us to Melbourne, Florida. And it was in Melbourne, Florida, where the pastor that I was working for used this term that I'd never heard before, and that was a home missions pastor. It was a person who pastored a church in a community much the way that a missionary would pastor it on the field. And that's what Merit Assembly of God was. So when we came to pastor, we were home missions pastors, the district appointed to be the pastors. And all of a sudden, then we had, wow, understanding that really caused us to be able to see what God had been orchestrating all along. Verse number 11 says, "When I was a child, I spoke as a child, and I understood as a child. I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. And now abide faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love." So here again, we see that there's one level of understanding, you know, and I'm a big fan of letting kids be kids. I just am. You know, I remember the pressure that there was when I was growing up of, you know, excelling in school. And I want kids to excel. I believe that they ought to do really, really well academically. I think that they ought to do well athletically, that they ought to do well relationally and financially. I think that kids need to learn how to do work and have responsibilities. I think there's a whole lot of that. There's equipping that comes in there from us, but there is also, not only is there an equipping on our part, but there is a time that has got to come in that young person's life when they say this: "It's time that I start acting like my current status rather than the status I've had all along." When I was a child, speaking like a child was normal. Understanding like a child was normal. Thinking like a child was normal. But when you become a man, when you become an adult, it's time to stop thinking in those immature ways, and it's time to start acting, thinking, speaking with the authority and the maturity that God has brought into your life. So he goes on and he says, "For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known." So look at the goal that God has for us there. Let me ask you this way. I'll flip the script just a little bit. How well does God know you? The Bible describes that he knew us while we were in our mother's womb. He knows the beginning, our beginning and our end. He knows the steps that we take. He knows the number of hairs on our head. He knows the thoughts that we think and the intentions that we have in our lives. He knows what we are thinking, even if we don't speak it. He knows the plans he has for us. He knows that he is preparing a place for us, that where he is there, we may be also. He knows enough about us to know when the enemy has planned evil things against us and knows how to deliver us from that. I want to ask you, how well are you known by God? Now let's look back at the verse. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. One of the things that I tell Merit Assembly is that I believe when we get to heaven, we are going to have revelation that God was much more active in intervening in our lives than what we give him credit for. By that, I mean, I think that there are some car accidents that didn't happen. I think that there's some sicknesses and diseases that we didn't contract because Jesus intervened. I think that there's going to be, you know, in the book of Esther, there was an execution that did not take place because God intervened in the king's sleep pattern the night before, caused him to have insomnia so that he started reading and finding out that Mordecai had saved the king's life. And he said, did we ever do anything for him? No, we never did. You know, I think it's time that we remedied that situation and the enemy's script of destruction completely flipped on its head overnight. I think that we will understand and know God much better once we get past this mirror, this dim view that we've got, you know, and say, God, you know, I encourage you, trust God. Trust God beyond your understanding of the circumstances. Say, God, I don't understand what's going on, but I trust you. I trust you. It's a great, great way to live. I encourage you to do it. Verse 13 of chapter 13 says this, now abide faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. So one night we were standing out at church we're supervising the young people who were out there, and all of a sudden this person came by I knew who they were, and they said, oh, man, I didn't know that y'all were having church tonight. And then they started doing some rambling. The next thing I know, they said, do you know what 1 Corinthians 13:13 says? Well, in case you don't know, it says, and now abide faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. There, now you know. And I know what that verse is. But knowing what the verse is and living the verse out, I will tell you this, they are two different things. It's one thing to have the head knowledge. It's another thing to put it into practice. And so be a blessing. Have faith. Faith abides. Have hope. Biblical hope is not just wishful thinking. It is confidence. It is having the utmost confidence in the God that we love, the God that we serve, the God that we know, and knowing that he does not lie. And love. Now I will show you the most excellent way, the more excellent way. And it says, the greatest of these is love. So we have gifts, but we've got to make sure that we operate those gifts with love. So the Bible says, speak truth in love. Don't forget the in love part. Operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit in love. too many times in the past, there have been people who operated in the gifts in arrogance. There have been people who operated in the gifts as if it was some sort of merit badge. And praise God for anything good that came out of that. But I will tell you, we've got to do it. We've got to live our life. We've got to proclaim the word. We got to live the word. Any evangelism that we do, that, by the way, there's a friendship evangelism class that is taking place on Saturday, I believe it is. Let me look at my calendar. I think that is not this week. It is a week from tomorrow. I think that is on the 21st, if I remember my calendar of events correctly, for the Space Coast City Fest that is coming to Vieira later this year. So there's a friendship evangelism class that is taking. You do need to register for that. And that event, if I remember correctly, is taking place at the church at Vieira. So those things are coming. Everything we do, if you do it and you don't do it in love, it is going to not be received the way that you want it to be. And so chapter 14, now that we've got the love, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. And so here we are in chapter 14 in the first verse, and we are being told that we need to be desiring not only the best gifts, but we need to be pursuing love and spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. If I can drop down, or I'm going to read a few more verses. I'm going to drop down and talk about it a little bit later after I read this. Verse number 2 says this, "For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries, but he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied, for he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets that the church may receive edification." So in the last 5 minutes or so that we have here, let me point out to you, what does prophetic utterance look like? Okay, I have this mental picture from reading the Old Testament of some of the things that Old Testament prophets went through. I have this visual imaginary image of what John the Baptist went through. I understand some of the things, most of the things, many of the things that Jesus went through. And so when someone calls themselves a prophet, in all honesty, out of all of the that I've ever operated in, the one office that I never really wanted was the office of prophet, because I was like, man, those people really have to go through a lot. An Old Testament prophet was not so much about the telling of future events, although that was an aspect of it, but a Old Testament prophet was one who summoned people back into a relationship with the Lord God. So this gift of prophecy, which is something that we should be especially desirous of, according to chapter 14, verse number 1, what does it look like? But he who prophesies, this is verse 3, speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. So the person who operates in the prophetic is going to speak in a manner that is going to build people up in their faith, not tear people down in their faith. So you've got to evaluate the prophetic message to make sure that it lines up with the Word of God. If it doesn't line up with the Word of God, it's not going to be edifying to you. It might make you feel good, but it's not going to edify you. The Word of the written Word of God and the prophetic Word are going to work together to fortify our faith. And exhortation, it is a teaching, it is an impartation of truth that doesn't just make the speaker feel good about sharing the message, but it is exhortation that is going to have a life-altering impact on the one who receives it. So it is presented in a manner in which the person will be able to understand it, receive it, apply it, and their life is going to be changed because of it. You know, I happen to think that that whenever prophetic gifts are in operation, that it is going to be more confirming than revelatory. I think that God's already going to have planted the seed, and that prophetic word's going to come along and say, you know what? The Old Testament said things are established in the mouth of two or three witnesses, and that prophetic word comes and says, I'm bearing witness with that seed that's been planted inside of you. It is about exhortation, edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. We live in a day and time where people are really, really beat up. I mean, it is just a very, very challenging world in which we live in. And in all honesty, there are a lot of people who have been damaged because of the fallen culture in which we live, to the point where we just don't know if we'll be able to make it one more day or one more problem. And God sends prophetic voices to come your way and say, you know what? I was where you were at, and God came along and comforted me. And because of the comfort that he gave me, I'm here to speak a message to you that there is God, the Holy Spirit, who is the comforter, who comes alongside to help, who's there to help. And on top of that, he has positioned a lot of other people in the body of Christ who are there, and they also are called alongside to help. I don't know if you've got people at church that you are close to. If not, find some. Find some people that you can be a comfort to, an edifier to, and an exhorter to, and allow them to speak life into you as well. Let's pursue God's best gifts. We'll see you tomorrow right here on
Refresh. Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
It's true.